Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Looks, going to cut it deep. Down here's Ridley. Caught it in stride. Calvin 20, 15, 10, 5. He geared down to wait on some competition. Touchdown, Atlanta. 75 yards.
Big day for Calvin Ridley. Big day for Matt Ryan, but just not enough. The Falcons score a touchdown in every quarter against their hated rivals from Stinky Town, which means that today you save $100 off Kauffman Tire, $100 off a set of four new tires today only at Kauffman Tire. Visit KauffmanTire.com for your local dealer and all the details. Kauffman Tire, the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons. Well, now that that's in the book, the Falcons sit 1-2. They're not the only team struggling in the NFL. It seems like a lot of teams are. It's a kind of topsy-turvy.
Tom Brady.
Yeah, he's one of them. Pittsburgh Steelers could be 0-2-1 if they lose tonight. Let's welcome into the program. Dave Archer joins us this morning on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Morning to you, Dave.
Morning, fellas.
Dave, I'm just going to get right to it. How big would it be to lose Ricardo Allen in that secondary?
Well, if you were trying to pick out guys that are the most important guys on the defense, Deion Jones would probably be 1A and Ricardo Allen be 1B. Ricardo Allen is essentially their coach on the field. He lines everybody up in the secondary. In fact, he lines everybody up the linebacker core as well. So Ricardo's knowledge of what they're trying to do from a game plan standpoint and his knowledge of the opponent and how hard he studies, truly the quarterback tag that you give a defensive player certainly fits Ricardo Allen. And then you lose what he brings from an enthusiasm standpoint, a pick-me-up standpoint, a guy that does a tremendous amount of leadership qualities are attached to Ricardo Allen. There's a lot of things that you're going to lose if Rico can't go, and it doesn't look very good right now.
So Dave, I was listening to you. By the way, you and Wes sound great on the air because I was on my way home, and I listened to you guys. You were mentioning there were instances out there where the defense looked like they were getting looks from the Saints that they haven't seen before. Was that the case, or was they having trouble lining up because Ricardo wasn't out there on the field?
Well, I think it was a combination of stuff. Hugh, I think I talked to Coach Quinn post game and asked him, losing Ricardo, did that put you in a little bit of flux? And he, you know, obviously deflected that and said no. You know, it was a matter of us not, you know, just not getting him right or whatever it was. I think it was pretty obvious that Ricardo not being out there hurt him. But I think there were a number of times when Ricardo was in the game that, you know, he can only do so much as far as getting people lined up. Guys have to be locked in the game plan.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was a really a good game plan put together by Sean Payton. There was obviously a number of unscouted looks. He did a lot of window dressing, did a lot of movement pre-snap, a lot of different packages and personnel groupings. And Atlanta was trying to match some of those guys with some specific players. DeMonte Casey, in particular, drew a number of assignments against Alvin Kamara in the game. But there were a number of times where they just didn't get the strength of the formation set up properly. And that would go back to Deion Jones not being in the game. Most of the time, a middle linebacker is going to call strength of formation and get the defensive line flipped, as you well know, get the linebackers flipped, where the safeties are supposed to rock down. So Ricardo can help with that. But then you're also, you know, your linebackers making some calls there too. So I'm not sure who that fell on, but there were a lot of guys running around. We got lucky a couple of times because there were a couple of times we didn't have anybody lined up on people and they just missed them.
Talking with Dave Archer, the day after the Saints win in overtime against the Falcons, Matt Ryan's 5 touchdowns, Calvin Ridley's breakout game. We'll talk about those in a moment, some of the positives here and where we stand on that, all waiting for Rico Allen and the news today, and hopefully he's not out for the year. Dave, why is it that we are in year 4 of Dan Quinn and we're still talking about tackling? I mean, it just seems like it's just a never-ending discussion that we have.
Well, I don't think it's just Atlanta. I think it's everywhere around the league, John. I think that because, and Hugh touched on a little bit, I was listening a little bit to you guys, I was headed out to Flowery Branch, the rule changes have made it tough to coach tackling. And you can't tackle in practice because you can't hit in practice. So how do you practice it? You're practicing against dummies. You know, they got, you're trying not to drag guys to the ground because you don't hurt your own players. So it's a real tough situation for defensive coaches. And so I don't think it's just that it's a Falcon issue. I think it's an issue across the league. And when guys do feel like they make form tackles, then they're flagged for illegal use of the helmet or they're falling on top of somebody or something like that. So it's tough to be a defensive player right now and to where the strike zone is and how you're supposed to hit somebody. And I think it makes it very difficult. But I would disagree with you that it's a Falcon issue. I think it's an issue across the league. But in particular, Atlanta, number one thing Atlanta has to fix is leverage on the ball carrier. It happened a number of times yesterday. Brian Poole was obviously the guy that was guilty on the one play that's glaring against Drew Brees on the run. But if you've got a defender outside of the ball carrier, you're coming from inside out, you have to chop your feet and slow down because you have the inside leverage. You already have somebody outside. You don't need to overrun the play and throw a shot at a guy and then knock your own player off, which is essentially what Brian Poole did. He knocked Robert Alford off the tackle against Drew Brees down at the 5-yard line. So Atlanta, the one thing they need to work on, I think more than anything else, is leveraging the ball carrier. If I got a guy outside and I'm inside, then I maintain my position and allow those two guys to close and make the play. I think that's the thing they need to work on the most.
Yeah, let's talk about something positive, man. Calvin Ridley, does it look like to you from the booth that the game is starting to slow down for him? Because he looked out a couple times like he was just wide open and nobody could do anything with him.
Well, I think it's been slow from the beginning. We talked about it in the preseason, Calvin's ability to understand coverage. He's obviously well-schooled, comes from Alabama. They taught him extremely well, and I think he has a really good feel for the game. And then he does some of the impromptu things that you don't really teach, just common football things that certain guys get, some guys don't. And that came on display when Calvin saw Ryan escape to the left down in the red zone. And Calvin's running a deep over route going the other direction on the back line. He puts his foot in the ground and turns and retraces his steps, mirroring his quarterback, and finds a corner of the end zone there where Ryan could get him the football. Those are just being a football player, and I think Calvin has a ton of that in him. But his feel for the game is off the charts, and I don't think it's been fast for him since he got here.
Talking with Dave Archer, you can follow him on Twitter at ArchQB16. Of course, Atlanta Falcons Radio Network on a Falcons Monday with John and Hugh, and discussing what do we do now as we all wait for word about Rico Allen today. Already, Dan Quinn has talked to Arch about going outside the organization. He didn't waste any time. He mentioned that in postgame yesterday. What do you do if you're the Falcons now, presuming the worst with Rico, but you are so banged up, you're going to have to try and find some help.
Yeah, I think you're going to have to look around and see if somebody's willing to do a deal. I know the one that everybody's talking about is a safety in Seattle. And so, I mean, he's a little disgruntled up there. And he made a play last night, intercepted a pass against the Cowboys, the team that he's been linked to as far as the trade goes. But I don't know. There's nobody on the roster that you just hang your hat on and say, oh, this will be good to go. Because Devontae Casey was that guy. When Keanu Neal went down, you felt comfortable about putting Casey in the game, and it's paid dividends. The guy's played well. But I don't think you have another guy like that. Jordan Richards came in, and he's kind of a stopgap guy, filled the holes, but he doesn't have maybe the know-how and the athleticism these other guys have had. So now what do you do? You're going to have to go find somebody. And those guys just aren't walking on the streets. You know, Hugh will tell you, you know, there's not a bunch of guys out there that can come back there and play Pro Bowl caliber safety for you. So it's probably going to take making some kind of deal, meaning trade draft picks or something like that, if you need to go get a guy who's willing to give up a safety that's maybe that quality of player. So it's a tough nut to crack, no question.
So basically we're talking about if the Falcons go out and do what we think they potentially are going to do, Dave, they're going to probably get fleeced because a lot of teams know that they're going to need somebody of that caliber on their team, so they're going to try to get as much as they possibly can from the Falcons. Say if you go try to get an Earl Thomas.
Absolutely. You know, I would, you know, if I'm Seattle and Earl Thomas is the guy that Atlanta's earmarking, and certainly that's going to be a conversation, I would think, at some point. I'm not saying that's going to happen, but if I'm Seattle sitting up there, I'm gonna get as much as I can for the guy if you're willing to deal him. And then you got to be willing to trade him. I mean, some of these, we're still early in the season. Everybody thinks they have a chance to potentially be a playoff team and make a push for a championship. Are you willing to give up one of your top players so somebody else can get healthy?
Yeah, no kidding. Dave Archer joining us.
With all that being said, Dave, does this put more pressure on the offense? Because they look like they're starting to come together right now. So does this say to Matt Ryan, like, listen, I know my defense is ailing a little bit. I got to go up here, and I got to have close to a 4 to 5 touchdown game every week if I want to win.
Well, I think that it certainly puts the onus more on the offense. I don't think there's any question about that. I think that was probably the case after we lost Debo and lost Keanu. And then, you know, Tack goes down. So now all of a sudden it's starting to add up on that side. So, yeah, you don't have your main players on the field. The other teams are going to be able to move and put more points on the board. The one thing that's a bit of a – you're not going to face this kind of offense every week. So I think that everybody's a little panicky and saying, oh, we're going to give up 40 points a game. That's not the case at all. This New Orleans is one of the 3 or 4 best offenses in the league. So to base all our thoughts and our impressions of the defense on this game, I don't think is fair. So I think that Atlanta will play better defense next week against Cincinnati, and they'll play better against Pittsburgh. I mean, Drew Brees is arguably – you know, one of the two, three, four best guys in the league at quarterback, diagnosing what you're doing, understanding where weaknesses are, all those type of things. I'm not going to get that every week. So I think that we need to dial back the fact that, oh, we got to dial a score on offense every weekend.
Dave, we'll certainly look forward to what the news is today, and hopefully it's better than we think it might be. But let's see if we can't get this straightened out with the Bengals coming to town. Thanks. I do appreciate it. Yeah.
Absolutely. Good talking to you guys.
All right, Dave Archer joining us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.